For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yes, sir. It's go time. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and the happiest of Mondays to you, my dudes and dudettes. It is spectacular to be back with you one more time again for another rousing rendition of the Rob Brown Show right here on The Fan Upstate. Hello, America and South Carolina and Greenville and internationally, I'd say Paris, London, Tokyo, America, Scotland, Mexico. Good morning to all of you, the international armada of the Rob Brown Show.
Except for you, Russia and Belarus.
Yeah. And I think we caught North Korea on that list too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it's an axis of evil.
Yeah. Effectively, if you're evil, you hate the Rob Brown Show. If you're good and love peace, justice, and the American way, you're here with us all 4 hours. So I assume, to those of you who are not listening, and you don't hear this right now, but you hear it, you feel it in your heart right now. Yes, indeed. To those of you who aren't listening, I just have to work under the assumption that you hate freedom if you're not here every day. For those of you that are, America. I am Rob Brown, the great Lonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass this morning as we roll through the foremost electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment that you will find anywhere at all at any time today. And, you know, not that you didn't already know this, because obviously you did, because you are here. You are part of the armada.
Today, I feel like the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Wait a minute. Leave that. Hang on.
Introducing first, standing in at 6'3", 215 pounds, fighting out of Greenville, South Carolina. He is.
No, that's okay. I'm done with that. I'm not vibing yet. We'll come back to that a little bit later in the show.
After you decide to fix it. Okay.
Fixed. I might unfix it later. It's fixed. You're good. I got it now. I might unfix it. So what you're telling me, I have the power to give myself an Echo Pigs in Space.
That's the best one you've done so far.
Ooh. Turn that off. It's fun, right? It's fun. And yes, that was the best one I've done so far. We have got a lot to get to over the course of the day. Today, ladies and gentlemen, because you may or may not know this, you may or may not have noticed, but football season began in earnest this Saturday, and it took precisely one game for chaos to ensue in the land of collegiate football. Florida State, number 10 team in the country, according to the AP preseason top 25, a preseason poll that, as we say every year, is completely and entirely unnecessary and unjustified, and yet everybody loses their mind because the top 10 team lost, and they should have. There's a lot that went wrong for Florida State, went right for Georgia Tech, but I would like just to take one little tiny second here, just the briefest of opportunities here, to ask you all one very simple question. And that simple question is this: do any of you, just out of curiosity and literally nothing else at all, do any of you happen to know of a radio host who spent the last, 2 weeks saying, hey, this game's going to be close. Hey, this game's going to be a fist fight. Hey, do not be shocked if Georgia Tech pulls the upset. Hey, Don't sit here thinking to yourself, I'll watch until Carolina starts, and by then it'll be 21-0 Florida State, and I'll tune over to Bryce Young, and then I'll come back and watch the end of the blowout. Do you know of any host anywhere that went on the microphone and said, hey, maybe, believe me when I tell you, Georgia Tech's good? I mean, Book, I'm not saying I said it. I'm just asking y'all if any of y'all happened to find a guy who maybe spent a couple of weeks saying, this game's not a blowout. This game is going to be contentious to the literal last whistle. This game, no, it's not. Guy from The Princess Bride, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head.
Do you want the actor's name or the character? Yes. Wallace Shawn.
Character. Vicini. I'm going to slap my... I knew that. Come on, Brown. Get your life together. It's not inconceivable because I spent weeks, literally weeks, telling you all this Tech team's good. In fact, I can go one step further if you want me to. And I don't care if you don't. I'm going to anyway. I would like to, if you don't mind... I would like to take you back for just a short little clip that I said on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday. Nope, that's the wrong clip. Hold on. It's this one. This one. I found it. Becky, I'll put up a lot of clips of me because I was in fuego on Saturday. Here's this one. It's 13.5. I wanted no part of it. No part of it. I do not think, and I've been told it sounds like I'm trying to bail Florida State out before the game even starts. I am not. Listen to me. Brent Key is doing a fantastic job at Georgia Tech. This team is dramatically better. Haynes King is a stud. Jamal Haynes, the running back, is a stud. They have phenomenal play calling. This Georgia Tech team is going to ruin somebody's season. I said that weeks ago. And it may be Florida State right here in week number one. Bang! That was Saturday morning. That was Saturday at noon. That was literally the opening segment of the show. That was the first thing that I said on nationally syndicated radio 5 minutes before the game kicked off. It is what I've been saying for 2 weeks now. And I got told, Rob, it's the same old Rob. You're wrong. You don't know ball. Yeah, I do. I might just know what the hell I'm talking about here. I might be on to something here.
Did anyone actually say that to you?
Oh, one guy did. Granted, I know the guy, and he texted me because he knew it was going to set me off, and he was right.
No, you're not that guy. Words don't do that to you.
The words set me off all the time. That's like half the content of the show at this point. All right? I said it because I meant it. I meant it because it was true. I said Georgia Tech is going to ruin somebody's season, and it was game one Florida State. Now, Let's not let FSU wiggle off the hook here. They embarrassed themselves entirely, completely. The defensive, I got told all damn offseason by Florida State fans, this defensive line is going to be, yeah, but they should be. Duh.
So that's the problem with Florida State. The offense wasn't bad. It really was the defense. Anybody could run on that.
The offense was not what it was last year. But also,
they scored some points. I'm just saying they scored some points. But if the defense would have, defensed.
Wait, were you being sarcastic or serious when you said that?
No, I'm being.
The last part.
The defensed?
Yeah. Yeah. No. The offense scored points. The defense was the reason this team lost.
Yeah, the defense was the reason the team lost.
Okay, I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, no. I mean, you can do that thing where you go after DJ. That sounds like what a Clemson fan.
It's been awful already.
It's not. It wasn't his fault. It's the defense. That's horrible because he put up points, and if the defense would have stopped the other team from scoring points, Florida State wins the game.
Okay, so I have two things about that. Number one. DJ Uiagalelei was fine. Okay? He wasn't good. He wasn't bad. He was fine.
How can he be fine and not good? I mean, I guess meh, but no, he put up points.
It's DJ Uiagalelei was vanilla ice cream.
What was the final score?
24-21.
That would mean that unless the defense scored, and it did not, if I recall, that he put up three touchdowns.
No, he did not. The run game put up touchdowns. A run game that, by the way,
he handed the ball off successfully to the running back who then.
All right, we're not giving him stop. We're not. I understand. Float DJU to aggravate the Clemsoners. I'm good with it.
Oh no,
like
that's
it.
Not that's not it. I watched the game, and legitimately, it was not his fault they lost. It was the defense. The defense is horrible. So you're able to build a team through the portal for offense, but can't do it for defense. Apparently,
DJ Uiagalelei. So there's two things at play here. Number one, DJ Uiagalelei was okay. All right, he was okay. He wasn't great, but he wasn't atrocious. The loss is not saddled on DJ Uiagalelei, but I'm also not going to say DJ was cost a win by the defense. The reality here is there was a problem with the play calling for Florida State. Now, I would also like to point out, Florida State did not have their offensive coordinator for this game. Remember, Alex Atkins was suspended for a game because of those recruiting violations, well, transfer portal violations that happened last year. So the play calling for Florida State was not the usual guy. That guy will be back next week when the Noles take on Boston College. I'm not saying that was or was not the reason. What I will say is offensively, the play calling was absolute for Florida State. You got Toa Feely, who's an outside back that you kept trying to run as a power back. You got Roydell Williams, who was a power back you kept trying to run outside. DJ Uiagalelei. And again, I will say this is one aspect of the game that Florida State is going to have to work around all season. DJU does not have a deep ball. All right? He's got the arm strength to get it down there, but it's like it's more of a shotgun than a sniper rifle. You just kind of send it down there and hope you get the target. DJU ain't got a deep ball, but we knew that already. He didn't have one at Clemson. He didn't have one at Oregon State. What DJU did have was a 70% completion percentage, which is good. All right? It's not great, but it's good.
Really? Really?
Yes.
70% is good. Okay.
When 90% of your passes are check down passes to the running back, check down passes to guys behind the line of scrimmage, yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's not great.
Wow.
Check down passes. In fact, I may even do this just because I have a innate and undying desire to be right. If we were to remove all passes that were 5 yards or shorter, I bet that completion percentage takes a nosedive.
You want to go back and do that in the West Coast offense for anyone who's ever won with the West Coast? If we take away those 5 yard passes,
that would be fine.
We take those away. They're not very good.
That would be fine if Florida State ran a West Coast offense, but they don't. They don't. They don't run a West Coast offense. They run a pro-style offense, a down-the-field offense, and they're running a down-the-field offense with a guy who can't throw more than 15 yards with any accuracy.
I don't know that pro-style offenses are just downfield offenses.
They're not downfield.
There are a lot of pro-style offenses that do the 5 yard passes and let their guys do the rest.
There is a part of the offense that is the case. And then there are parts of the offense that aren't. And I know for a fact, off the top of my head, there were at minimum three passes that DJU had a guy on an outlier cut, and he sailed it into the sidelines. There was one specifically on I want to say it was a big third down, that DJU had a receiver cut to the outside, broke the defensive back's ankles on the cut, and DJU hit the second deepest guy on the sideline with a football. On a 17-yard out. You can't do that. If you can't complete that pass, you can't throw that pass anymore. And that's what it is. So the final take for me on DJU was, he's not, let's be clear here, he is not a quarterback that will quarterback you to a national championship game. What he is a quarterback that is good enough for a great team to get him there. The problem is FSU ain't a great team. Who said that? The guy that said, you lost your starting quarterback, you lost your starting running back, you lost your top two wide receivers, you lost your utility man and bailout wagon at tight end, you lost half your defense, including, and who is one of, I named two people last week by name. There were two guys that I circled and said, this guy and this guy, the loss of them kills you. Keon Coleman and Jared Verse. Those are the two guys that killed you. Because on offense, Keon Coleman was a guy that could get down the football field and adjust to the ball. You don't have that anymore. Keon Coleman could make DJU look better than he is because he had an innate ability to adjust his ball to or adjust his body to the ball. Florida State doesn't have that. DJU doesn't have that. And on the flip side, Jared Verse was a guy who made defensive linemen's job easier because you have to double team him. You have to double team Jared Verse. That's why he got picked up by the Rams to replace Aaron Donald, because he can fill that gap. He may not be as good as Aaron Donald, but he fills that role. Without him, as good as Patrick Payton may or may not be, you don't have the guaranteed double team on the defensive line. And why did Rob Brown say Georgia Tech was going to be sneaky good all week last week? The offensive line. Because Brent Key is an offensive lineman who went to Georgia Tech. Brent Key was always going to have that offensive line playing like some damn monsters. And what did they do? They whipped FSU's tails right there at the point of attack. So Georgia Tech basically said, here's the deal. We're going to give it to Jamal Hines up the middle, or we're going to fake it to Jamal Hines, and Haynes King's going to run to the outside, and Florida State had no idea what to do. That was the most disastrous defensive performance that Florida State's had in years. They looked atrocious. And I will throw one more thing out there, just for fun. I look at the Patrick Paytons of the world. Florida State had two or three of these guys on defense that this offseason were in the portal, out of the portal, in the portal, out of the portal. They were looking for that NIL back. And ultimately, Florida State said, hey, you're good enough. We want you back. We don't care that you went in the portal a couple of times looking for the bag. We want you back because you're that good. Those guys, they look like they weren't, they had no stamina at all. It looked like they had no conditioning at all yesterday. Sorry, Saturday. None. So we got down into the fourth quarter because that field goal drive should not have happened. Keep in mind, on second and forever, Georgia Tech had the botched snap that cost them 10 yards. They went 10 yards the wrong way, and Florida State still couldn't figure out how to kill that drive off because they were exhausted. And the offensive line for Georgia Tech mauled them at the point of attack. That's the Brent Key way. Just like Rob Brown said it would. Kill them at the point of attack and don't let them have the outside. That's what they did. DJU was fine. The wide receivers aren't what they were last year without Wilson and Coleman. The running backs aren't what they were without Trey Benson. And Jordan Travis was better than DJ Uiagalelei. Statement of fact.
So you're saying that the coach is to blame and he should be fired? That's what I heard from
Mara. Yeah, no, for sure. That's what I said. That's what I just said.
That's exactly what you said.
What I should have done is said, welcome to the Rob Brown Show. Mike Norvell sucks. Fire him. See you guys tomorrow. Because that's clearly what I said.
You blamed the coaching early on. You absolutely
I blamed
did.
The play calling and then said.
Who does the play calling?
Alex Atkins, the offensive coordinator who was suspended for a game and wasn't there. Wow,
get rid of the coach.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. I'm glad we took 18 minutes for Lonzo to extract the guy who went 13-0 and won the conference last year should be fired per Rob Brown. That's definitely what I said.
Print it.
The sad thing is Lonzo has the ability to pull that clip and make it a thing, and that sucks for me. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it. I said, if I don't crack this mic soon. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Up State. Busy day lined up for you today as we are talking college football with the season officially getting its start on Saturday noon when the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets stung the Seminoles of Florida State and ruined the opportunity at back-to-back undefeated seasons in literally one game. We will talk more about that game as it continues to move forward. But what, pray tell, does this do to the ACC? Let's put it this way. Dear Clemson fans, if you are ever going to pick a time to shine, this is it. The door is open.
No. Georgia Tech is the champion. We've declared them the champion. Because of that stellar performance, how they totally destroyed Florida State Saturday, they're obviously going to be the champion. No one can come close to them in the ACC.
Okay. So, Lonzo's immense, almost impressive, cataclysmic levels of sarcasm aside.
It is Monday.
It is Monday. Gotta get started off on the regular
foot.
It
builds up all on Sunday and, you know.
Can't wait for Friday. What's Friday going to be like? As Clemson gets set to take on Georgia in the ATL this Saturday and either pull the most monumental of upsets in week one or join Florida State in the 0-1 category.
Are the realistic and analytical fans such as yourself for Clemson, I'm not saying you're a Clemson fan, I'm talking about the analytical part, are they just already looking past Georgia? They count that as a loss and they're looking at the rest of the season?
I mean, I do.
So I do too, but I mean, you know.
I think there is a possibility that this year's Georgia team is not as good as last year's Georgia team.
But I also thought Florida State was going to win Saturday.
Yeah, I know you did.
So, I mean, you know, but I wasn't alone in that. So it's not like,
you absolutely weren't. In fact, our boy Seamus was the only guy to pick Georgia Tech on game day and has been absolutely wrecking Pat and the gang on Twitter ever since. I did not, so that we are clear, I did not pick Georgia Tech. I did say a lot of times, I absolutely will be 0% shocked if they win this game, though.
Oh, no. Because that entire first segment, you made it sound like that you picked them.
No, I didn't.
You absolutely did.
Once again, you infer what I said instead of listening to what I said.
All right, people on the stream. Text line 71307. Didn't Rob play a clip where he talked about Georgia Tech, how they were going to win the game?
No, he did not. What he said was, Georgia Tech is going to ruin somebody's season, and it might be Florida State. Not will be, and not is going to ruin Florida State's season. What I said was, they're going to ruin somebody's season, and it might be Florida State.
Does the pointing help? Because it almost looks like you're reading what you're saying when you're doing that.
That's my... The point here is, the ACC door have been opened now because the assumption was the odds on favorites were Florida State, which again, I also said all off season, it ain't that clear to me. I'm not taking a dime out on FSU to win the ACC because they are taking a step back. It was not a question mark. I also, you will remember if you go back to last week, I also went back last week and said, I think Clemson wins this conference. And this was why. Do I think Georgia Tech wins the ACC? I don't. Do I think Georgia Tech has something to say about it? I absolutely do. And they did in literally one game. Literally one game, they had something to say about it. So, to me, this Clemson-Georgia game, yeah, Georgia's a double-digit favorite. So was Florida State when it opened. 13.5-point favorites. Now, because I am an influencer, that line took a nosedive down to 10.5 because I said, I'm not betting on that. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not rolling with that. But what I will say is, Georgia Tech was looked at against Florida State the same way Clemson is looked at against Georgia. It's everybody, massive size. 83% of people had Florida State picked over Georgia Tech.
So we knew I did, and apparently you did too. We all now know that. So, I mean, I the majority of us were wrong. I'm curious if the entire ACC is going to be like this, if it's going to be this close, because that was a close game. It was. Could have went either way. If you look at the stats for the game, DJ was slightly better than that guy on the other side, whatever his name is.
Haynes King?
King or something. Yeah. It's just, this is a mediocre game for a mediocre conference, and it's probably what we're going to get for the entire season.
I can't wait for Tech to make a run, because I went on the show Saturday, and here's the prediction. Georgia Tech, I'm not saying won't, but they ain't losing to Georgia State. They ain't losing to Syracuse. They're not losing to VMI. They may have a game against Louisville. They ain't losing to Duke, and they ain't losing to North Carolina. Georgia Tech will be, at the absolute worst, a one-loss team and a top 20 team when they play Notre Dame October 19th.
Hey, good for you. Do they play Clemson?
They do not play Clemson this year.
Oh,
they do, however, play number 7 Notre Dame. They beat number 10 Florida State. They play number 19 Miami, number 24 NC State, and number 1 Georgia. I think this
team...
So
they don't play that stellar team that just totally destroyed Saturday night, SMU.
I mean, I will acknowledge SMU didn't look great. Needed a miracle and a bailout.
I was also being sarcastic about that. But they still won.
They did gut one out.
They won.
Against rebuilding powerhouse Nevada. That game, they were 27.5-point favorites. And they needed a damn miracle to
sneak one out. Did anyone cover this weekend?
I don't know, because I don't remember exactly what the lines were in the other game. I know they were outrageous. SMU, I think, SMU did not have the longest line. The longest line was, I think, Hawaii was like 36.5-point favorites, and they did not cover. SMU did not cover. New Mexico did not cover because they lost to FCS Montana State. Hey, remember last week when I gave you the week one viewer guide on Friday? And I said, here's a reason to watch all four games. I said, number one, Georgia Tech can upset Florida State. This is a contentious game to the wire. Bingo. I said New Mexico could lose to Montana State, an FCS team, and have our first FCS over FBS team. I said SMU on the road may take some time to develop their offensive timing and chemistry behind Preston Stone. And I said Hawaii hosting Delaware State is probably the one you shouldn't watch, but that's at midnight, so I wouldn't blame you. I mean, no, I was right about that. Like, it wasn't a great game. But the point here is...
Weren't you up at midnight watch? Because you said you were...
Yeah, I didn't do that. It was on pay-per-view, dude. I learned that it was on pay-per-view.
Wait, you're a host on the sports station. Don't you have, like... Isn't that paid for you?
Anyway, it was on pay-per-view. All right? Listen, I used to stay up way past my bedtime when I was a teenager and buy wrestling pay-per-views. But this wasn't WrestleMania. This wasn't SummerSlam.
You were staying up past your bedtime like 5 years ago. It just hit you.
I stay at my bedtime now. I just pay for it now. Well,
We all pay for it. Yeah, we
true.
All do.
That's true. Texter said, I told my wife that Georgia Tech turned a corner last year and they could play with FSU, aka Transfer Portal University. They will give everyone they play a headache. P.S. Lonzo reminds me of my friends that do not watch sports but still have an awful lot of opinions about him.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. You know what's great about it, though? I'm on a three-time winning, actually, I've won it more than that, sports show of the year.
I've only got three.
The state of South Carolina. So, you know, you're right. What do I know?
Texter,
I'm just fooling everybody.
Texter said, I could hear Rob's arm breaking from patting himself on the back so hard. That's from Eric. Eric, appreciate the text. Again, it is important to me when I am told for weeks at a time that I'm a clown, I'm an idiot, I don't know ball. It's important to me to remind the masses, the armada at large, why it is that I do know ball. And there you have it. Nailed this game.
You're going to throw like a rotator cuff out or something if you do that.
I did stay up past my bedtime again last night. I did that thing where like I slept the wrong way and now my neck hurts, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Can't win. Can't win. Texter said, Rob, DJU still sucks. Again, he doesn't suck, but he's not good. He doesn't suck, but he's not good. He's fine. He's acceptable.
He was better than the quarterback across the way, but that his defense is horrible.
I don't agree that he was. Haynes King ran for 54 yards on top of it.
DJ ran for seven. Look at the stats, dude.
Once again, as I worked with somebody.
You're Mr. Stats guy. Look at the stats.
I am looking at the stats, but if you think the stats are the only thing that matters, that's wrong, too.
Oh, they only work when it's in your favor, no. And then if not, then they don't matter.
As with everything. One of my favorite traits about sports fans is the complete and entire ability to ignore the context. Screw context. This is how I feel, and I'm right. No. Haynes King knew exactly what FSU was giving him and took it and didn't need any more than that. They won the game on the legs of that cat. Oh, and Jamal Hines, who had 75 yards and 2 touchdowns.
They won the game on the legs of the kicker who, you know, kicked a field goal to win it.
And also did. Also, Florida State had a 52 and a 59-yard field goal. They got a dude with a cannon leg. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. So, Bryce Young got to play a little bit on Saturday.
Wow, did he look good for that one series? He absolutely did. The footwork was good. He had ample protection, and everything looked good for one series. And if we can get that kind of productivity for at least 75% of the game throughout, they're going to be okay this year.
I do think they're going to be okay this year.
Chuba Hubbard looked good. I have concerns about the defense, though. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, didn't we kind of know defense was going to be a bit of a problem? Like, you've got the stalwarts, you've got the Derrick Browns, you've got a defensive backfield that you can't keep healthy, and I think you do have to be concerned about that. But to dial in on what I was told everybody wanted to see, and that was QB1, BY9, and what he was going to do, there's like a couple of little things that I would be concerned about. One of them is when running, as he had to do a couple of times, I need him to run more like Drew Brees and less like Lamar Jackson. I need him to run to protect himself, and I felt like there were a couple of spots where he was not feeling the pressure coming from behind him once he crossed the line of scrimmage, which is where if a QB is going to get racked, that's the spot he's going to get racked at. But I thought Bryce Young was poised in the pocket. I thought Bryce Young, Lonzo's thing he's been on this offseason, and I think it's very fair, was Bryce Young's footwork. I thought his footwork in the pocket was, frankly, pretty good.
Yeah, it was. He didn't look afraid. He looked patient as much as he could be because the offensive line's still not where it needs to be. So he did have some pressure. And despite what you're saying, he didn't do that bad. I mean, he could have folded and buckled when he had to run. And I was impressed for one series. I hope that continues for an entire game.
It's gonna be up to. And again, this is why I said last year throughout the course of the season, when people were talking about the footwork, when people were talking about the posture in the pocket, the bravado or lack thereof in the pocket. This is why I said, I think people don't particularly understand how much heat dude was under last year behind that offensive line. You put him this year behind an offensive line. I went back and I watched that game again. I watched it live. And obviously was watching a couple of games at the same time. But I went back and watched it again on Saturday night, where I could kind of, you know, watch play by play, watch play, rewind it, watch it again, watch a different spot, whatever. And even from the first two passing plays, because I think they threw on first and second down of drive number one. On the first two plays, specifically the second one, because the second one to me is what the Panther offense is going to be this year. And that was a little pass across the middle. Not a little pass. I mean, it was a good 10-yard completion. But they had a wide receiver lined up in the slot on the left-hand side. Bryce Young out of the shotgun. They went with a formation that had no tight end. They split, they flexed the tight end to a slot. So it was effectively 5-on-4. The Bills cocked out both defensive ends, so they were wide out. I mean, big, thick angle. So they had the two offensive tackles kick wide, which basically puts the pressure on the guards, right? Because if Buffalo's going to rush their defensive ends from way on the outside, you've got to slide your tackles out. You got to slide your tackles out. What does that do? It increases the distance that the guards have to separate from the center, and it opens up the holes. Now, it's not a guarantee that anything happens for the defense, because by flexing your defensive ends that far to the outside, you've effectively not removed two pass rushers from the outside, but you have pretty much done that, unless they can beat the offensive tackle. But when you're flexed that far to the outside, the other thing it does is it increases the amount of yards vertically that an offensive tackle has to kick that foot back, get backwards, and remove you out wide. If you can't cut back to the inside, which these defensive ends could not do, if you can't kick back to the outside, then what you're effectively doing is giving the offensive tackle more yards to play with. But every yard that the offensive tackle has to kick backwards in order to keep a defensive end, that's one more yard between he and the guard, and it opens up a spot that linebackers can rush through. It opens up a hole, which means the pressure is on the guard, not just to address the two guards in the center, frankly, not just to address the two interior rushers, the two defensive tackles, but they've got to make sure they're accounting for, between three guys, those two, and also have the third guy prepared in case there is a blitz coming up the middle. So on that play that we're talking about, that is that second play from scrimmage, that little slot pass across the middle, BY played it excellently well. He recognized that the heavy pressure was going to come down the field. This is a spot that a lot of young quarterbacks could take that extra drop, maybe two drops back into the pocket, because all they see in that spot is the two nose guards, the two nose tackles, the two defensive tackles coming at him, and the natural reaction is to get away from that pressure. But Bryce Young doesn't do that. He takes his drop as appropriate. I think he took a three-step drop on that. He plants the back foot and he sits. Light on his feet, up on his toes, waiting for something to develop. He looks at read number one out to the right side, recognizes it's covered, comes across to read two. And what did he see in read two? But the back of the linebacker's helmet, who got drafted into coverage by the slot, who ran a little seven and in, right? He sees the back of the helmet of 45, recognizes, if you want to go back and watch this play, you can pull up the highlights of this game and watch this play develop. He's got the slot receiver who looks inside at about 7 yards and kind of takes a deep cut. He looks up, he sees that 45, the interior linebacker, has gotten turned around backwards in coverage, right? Didn't get out front of the coverage, so he's turned around backwards looking the wrong way. After he looks at read one, looks at read two, recognizes he sees the back of the helmet of 45, he sees the numbers on the back of the jersey, not the front, so he commits to that throw. Phenomenal read, phenomenal lead, phenomenal pass, and that was the story of the game to me, because that's what this offense has got to be. It's an offense that's going to be predicated off the run and then utilizes the run to look to the middle of the field. Where are those linebackers going to go? What are those linebackers attacking? And the two linebackers had played up against the run, so he looks at the slot. He looks at read one. He looks at Deontay Johnson down the sideline. Deontay's covered up, so he goes to read two, recognizes the linebacker because he was playing up against the run, got spun around by the man he was supposed to be covering, recognizes where that is going to be open at, and hits a good throw. This is what can be done. This is what I knew last year was possible. But last year, by the time that BY looked at read one, read the coverage, saw he was covered, and looked to read two, that pocket had collapsed. There was no time to get to read two. I pointed this out all year last year. BY9 has two options. Read one, oh my God, I'm going to die. That was it. Those were the two spots. It was either A, read one, or B, I'm about to get trucked. What can I do to try to make a miracle? In this game, and again, let us also point out that, and I do think it is important to do so, this was against Buffalo's twos, okay? This was against Buffalo's backups.
twos and maybe some threes.
A couple of threes.
Yeah.
So there is still a lot that's got to be fixed up, all right? Let's say this, great one. This, dramatically better than what we saw at any point in the regular season from the offense last year. Also, this against Chase Young and Cam and DeMario Davis in New Orleans in week one, different animal. Can they do this in week one on the road in a hostile environment? Because in week one, the Saints don't suck yet. We will by week seven, but in week one, we don't suck yet. So if we don't suck yet, the dome is going to be full. It's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking. All right, it's week one. We've got 600 days of no football pented up inside of us. All right? So it's going to be loud. It's going to be hostile. And if there is one point that the Saints should be strong, it's the front seven. It's the linebacker core and the defensive line. So when he goes on the road and he's got a live NFL starting defensive line, a live NFL linebacker core, and an offensive line that's only played a couple of live action snaps together, will it still look discomposed? I don't know. We'll find out. But what I can say is what we saw in this game Saturday against the twos for Buffalo, Bryce Young looked like a different animal, looked like a different cat, looked like a guy who was confident behind his offensive line, which I don't think he was last year, and I think that's entirely understandable. I'm going back on that same drive because I'm actually kind of watching rewatching the drive in live time here. There was the second and six play once they had crossed midfield where the pocket did collapse. I think it was the right guard got beat. BY took a seven-step drop on this play out of the shotgun. The left guard got beat by a spin move. So what did Bryce Young do? Saw the spin move, recognized that there were three Bills defenders to his face and one on the backside. Utilized the back on the blocks, or used the block on the backside, escaped the first, got out, dodged up, and what did he do? Tucked the football immediately. Don't try to be a hero. And that is something else that I think I need out of this cat. I don't want you to be a hero this year. You're not an 8-year vet Pro Bowler yet. It's going to take some time. Don't try to be a hero. If you are under pressure, if the pockets collapse, if you have been touched by a D lineman, put the ball away, escape, and don't get yourself killed. And in this game, he did. Read it, saw where the leverage was, escaped it, got out of the pocket, pushed up the field to get close-ish back to the line of scrimmage, recognized there was a defensive back with a bullseye on that number nine, and he went down. Perfect. Perfect. It's not perfect out of the offensive line. BY right back under pressure on pass play number three, four, whatever it was in that spot. But in the face of that, he did not just go to the ground and collapse. He put the ball away. He secured the bag. He avoided the pressure. He made one man miss, Drew Brees style. If you got one guy and you can make a miss without getting racked, do it. If you get past that guy and you see another jersey of the wrong color, go down. I don't need you getting concussed, because if BY goes down, this team's cooked. All right? That's just it. There will be no improvement if nine's not on the field. Perfect. That's all I need out of the guy. I loved what I saw out of Bryce Young. Offensive line's got to get a little bit better for sure, but remember, they've played one series of snaps together, and it was against Buffalo's backups.
I am optimistic. Even though it was against the backups, the timing and everything was good. He looked good. The rest of them looked pretty good. We'll see what happens. But right now, I'm more optimistic now than I was before he went out there.
I think that's abundantly fair.
And that's what I wanted. That's what a lot of people wanted to see.
I think that's abundantly fair. I completely think that's fair. All right. There you go. One hour in the books. Three to go. End of the first quarter. Second quarter coming up next. Lonzo is about to pull the Georgia Tech of sports flashes.
So I'll be mediocre, but good enough to be Florida State. The decision of who to start at quarterback may have resolved itself last night for the New England Patriots. Starting quarterback Jacoby Brissett sustained a shoulder injury in the first quarter after being sacked by Commanders edge rusher KJ Henry. Brissett has seen... Was seen clutching his shoulder after the hit. Rookie Drake May took over, finishing 12 of 20 for 126 yards and a touchdown. U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley knocked down a number of clutch putts to edge out Adam Scott, Sam Burns, and Ludvig Åberg to claim the BMW Championship by one stroke. Bradley finished the event with an even par 72 on Sunday, becoming the first Ryder Cup captain to win a PGA Tour event in 9 years. Tune in this Friday night at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Irmo to take on the Yellow Jackets. It's Burns versus Irmo right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. It's us right here, The Fan, Upstate.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.